Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I want to wish everybody, and I want to make sure that everybody had a happy turkey day. We can't call it Thanksgiving, because that's when these settlers murdered, ambushed the Indians and killed them. And that's why they call it Thanksgiving. They went in and slaughtered all the Indians after all they had done to them. That is the American way. You know, you may not think so, but it is. And I know you. I know my black brothers and sisters. I know how they operate. You see, they don't want to do anything that might upset the power to be. They don't want to do anything that just might make them mad. You see, they don't understand the struggle that has taken place in Benton Harbor, Michigan. It's a case in point. One that holds a numerous lessons for the American people. The fight in Benton Harbor is a war. This is not a conflict. This is a war. We're at war. The bad part, black folks is not fighting a war. They're fighting each other. And they keep all this nonsense because that's the way white folks want to. See, white people pay black folks to keep up nonsense. That's what they do. White folks that's in power pay black folks to keep up nonsense to break your concentration. See, the war that is over whether black people will have prosperity, democracy, clean water, or live in poverty under the heels of open rule. Fascism is here. It's here, whether we like it or not. It's here. The corporations, and government merging fascism against the people, against you, against your families. That's what it's all about. We can prevent that if we take a stand for our children. Make sure we understand it's not about us. It's all about our children and the future of our children. You see, like I said, the struggle. See, let's make this struggle a victory for all who are victims of the economic crisis in every single black city and town in America. Let's confront the corporations that are destroying this country, the billionaires, they are destroying this country, raising food prices so you can't afford to eat, raising food prices so you cannot afford to eat. Everything, and don't want to pay $15 an hour to a worker. Wow. We must confront the corporations that are destroying this country. That's right. Control of this country away from the corporations and the billionaires and build a society where the people, not the corporation, make the decision. Let's learn how to fight together. And you're going to have black folks fighting with white folks. You're going to have that. You got black people who want to be just like white folks They want to put their foot on your neck. And long as they have their foot on your neck, they believe that the white folks will love them. That's right. They believe that white people will love them long as they're pressuring black folks. The city of Benton Harbor is honored to serve white people. Benton Harbor elected officials. We know 7 of them that will go jump off the bridge if they tell them to. You have your mayor, your pro tem, you have Henderson, you have Juanita Henry, Eisen, Edwards, and who's that other one? Oh, Singleton, the one who stole the radio station. And let me say this. He stole the whole radio station, moved it from its location with all the equipment, and is now in his basement. He is now trying to run the radio station from his basement. That's what a protest would do. If you know how to protest, you can make them do things they never done before. You see, we made them pack up and move out this building. And now he's trying to run the radio station from his garage, I was told. I don't know the whole story, because he's trying to conceal it from me. But we're going to go to his house and pick it. And we're going to picket the radio station. We are not going to allow him to get away. See, one of the things that you as black folks need to know, anything that you can do together intimidates the power to be. You see, he had no idea that all this was going to come about. No, he didn't. That Commissioner Ryan Singleton, who's a straight-up sellout, a Sambo, he came in fourth place. I'll talk about that too shortly. But he had no idea that we would be able to force him out. And you people, black people always think we can't do anything. We can do anything we want, but we have to want to do it and be consistent. Now, the radio station is now in his garage and basement. So what we're going to do, we're going to continue to apply that pressure like he's never had before on him about the stealing 105.3 radio station. Also, the people from Muskegon, who somehow he formed a new board. He didn't have that authority to form a new board, but he formed a new board and called himself going to use that to keep the license of the radio station, but it's not going to work because he never, I don't even know whether he was a board member or not. I don't ever remember him being a board member, you know. But this is what they do, you see. Anytime you can force people to do things they can't do, like we forced the whole radio station, 105.3, is now in Ron Singleton's garage, you see. And I'm not, let me make this clear. I'm not telling nobody to break in his garage and steal this equipment. That's on you. But I won't be mad at you if you did. I would not be mad at you if you did. So what we're going to do, we're going to bring him to his knees. That's the best thing. And this was a powerful, powerful, powerful step. It shows you what we can do when we work together. My friends from all across the country have been putting it out, putting it online, carrying the message about the stolen radio station, and now it has been moved from the Benson building to Ron Singleton's home now. And someone said it's split between the basement and the garage. I don't know, but we're going to shed it all the way down. We might decide to go there and pick it in front of his house if it's, you know, I don't know yet. I'm trying to make sure that we're doing all the things we need to do to make sure they understand how serious we are about what's going on. Because I'm for real. When I'm after something to do something, nothing stops me, you know, because it's important. And, these white devils will tell you that. They said Peyton is going to complete the mission, you know. And, I'm one of the few guys that's ever had the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals to overturn convictions. Never before in history. There's not a black man in this country that had that much success. We have had the juvenile lifers. We had the opportunity of going to the Supreme Court on that and winning for the juvenile lifers. Now, that is one of my greatest achievements right there, or our greatest achievement. I shouldn't say I mine, because it's not really mine. You know, we did it as a group. And that was one of the greatest achievements of all time, because what we did, we allowed people to get out of prison that normally would not ever get out of prison, which was really huge. So I'm really good at that. I'm looking at everything from that angle, and that was a huge accomplishment by the Benton-Harbor Community Water Council and Banco, which is one. The Benton-Harbor Community Water Council and Banco is one. And here's something that we did: the court-appointed attorney. We went to court and fought for them to get these scumbags more money. And at that time, it worked. We went to the circuit court. We won there. We went to the Court of Appeals. We won there. We went to the Supreme Court. We won there again. And what they did, they provided more money. And at one time, the court-appointed system had improved to a level where it was equal to the prosecutor office. You see, it was equal to them. One of the cases, this guy McCarthy, Mike Steffi told him that he was going to send the sheriff department over to raid his office because they was winning so many cases, and he couldn't see how a court-appointed attorney ever win a case, because most of the time they lay down. So what he did, he told McCarthy, he said, I'm sending this, and McCarthy broke his heart. He told him, this is what the chief court-appointed attorney told this little slime ball, my septic. He told him, bring them on. I'll be waiting for you and your sheriff department, and you're going to wish you had not done that. And he was so scared that he didn't do it, shaking in his boots, because they never have people to stand up to him in this county. Black folks ain't going to stand up to him. But this white guy stood up to him and really undressed him in front of all the other attorneys, you see. And that's another reason why he retired. He didn't have to retire, but he retired because of that, because people looked at him in a different light, you see. And this is what I tell everybody. In order to get something done, you got to be out there doing the work, you see. That's how we got this radio station. We're about to close it down. It won't be long. You know, the feds is going to come in because they also want me to provide them with information about the radio station. And I gave them all the information I could think of. You know, there's other stuff that I don't know, you know, in reference to that. But I just, you know, that's their job to find out. My job is to tell them how it all started with Charles Kelly. Charles Kelly died. They chased Miss Kelly out of here. And this guy, he's been running the radio station like a cash cow, you know. And now, because of this pressure we have put on him, he has moved the radio station out of the Benson building for now. So we're going to continue pounding him. And when I say pounding him, that is what we're going to do. See, this is what I want to tell all my listeners. You see, you have to be the aggressor. And you've got to be aware. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. Because these devils will come after you, you see. They got all kind of partnership with other people. But we have to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. See, here's the thing. The city of Benton Harbor, they love serving white folks only. You could come in with a plan that is so good that's going to help the community, and they'll reject it. But if somebody white come in with that same identical plan, you should see how they be jumping around. Oh, that's a great plan. Yeah, we're gonna see if we find some dollars for that. But that's because white people are presented. What we have, that's why these guys are shambles, you see. And my thing is that it's important that we understand exactly what we're doing. Anytime you have a city that is honored to serve only white people, you have a problem. So my goal this election is to be ready for them devils. And that goes for everybody that's listening. We got 10,000, over 10,000, almost 500 people to vote. 10,000, almost 500 for the Sambo of the Year Award. I know most of them probably didn't live in the city of Benton Harbor, but I can almost say maybe at least 500-600 did live in Benton Harbor. I can say that. So the goal is to make sure we're ready to move this thing to the next level. Because it's important. You see, you got to remember, we have 400, over 450 years of abuse. Over 450 years of abuse. Over 400. Wow. Mistreatment. Torture. Hanging. Raping. Can you believe that? We have had over 450 years of abuse, mistreatment, torture, hanging, raping. Men and women, when they was raping, they not only raped the women, they raped the men too. You don't hear them talking about that, but that's the truth. They raped the men too. That's what they did. Nobody want to talk about that. You think somebody wants to talk about that? Absolutely not. Nobody want to talk about that. But listen, black folks, I'm talking to my black brothers and sisters right now. We got to change. We got to change what we're doing. We can no longer continue doing what we've been doing. We can't be jealous of each other. We can't be envious of each other. Let's make this struggle a victory for all who are victims of the economic crisis in every city, in every town in America. Let's do that. Let's stand up and fight back and do it as a unit. And one of the things, let's keep our money circulating in our community. I would love to see somebody open up a grocery store that everybody in the city could go to rather than go to these Indian stores. I won't go to the Indian store. I have to say this, I did buy gas from them on Thursday, but I don't go to their stores. Let's confront that I'm destroying this country. The billionaires raising prices right now. They're raising prices to a level that you can't go out and feed your family. But you really don't care. Let's get out here and show them our capability. Once we show these folks our capability, we can do anything. And we got to keep this thing moving. We got to say what's going on with it, with us. And just remember this. This is very, very, very important. Our history was written by those that harmed and raped our women and our heroes. Given that fact, it is therefore foolish to believe that the history taught to our children is true. It's not true. But we have to tell our children. I know we're busy trying to feed our family. It takes 24 hours, especially the way they're raising prices. But we have to do this. You know, we're at war. And look at it as war. And I believe that we cannot take any prisoners at all because we can't afford to feed them. We got to continue this battle, doing what we're supposed to do, making things happen, and make sure that we're building for the future of our children. Nothing else is more important than that. There's nothing more important than the future of our children. That's the foundation. That's where we missed that foundation. You know, the generation before that, the generation before that, we missed that foundation. That's why our children today are running. This is design. You know, this is that slavery, that mental slavery that, you know, that's being exposed right now. People running around. They want to kill black folks. They don't want to kill white folks. Even though white folks want to get their foot all up their butt, they don't want to do it. But look, let me finish off by saying I want to thank every single person who voted for the Sambo of the Year Award. Our top vote getter was Marcus. You might call him Muhammad. I don't care what you call him. He's still a slime ball singer. He got over 10,000 votes. Exactly 10,475, 76 votes. He was followed by Dwayne Seats, his partner. He got 10,400. I don't have the figures right in front of me, but he got over 400 also. Followed by Ron Singleton. He got over 10,400 votes too. Then followed by Marletta Seats. She got over 10,000 votes also. But what we're going to do, I'm trying to work out this thing where we're going to go national with these samples. I'm going to nominate my four samples, the top four of the group, and see what they say. I've been talking to people about it, trying to figure out how we're going to do it. But we're going to make it a big deal, and we're going to make it go all across the country. The sample of the year. Don't let these samples get away. Don't let them. If you're a barber, don't cut their hair. If you own a grocery store, don't let them buy groceries. If you're on a gas station, don't let these Sambos buy gas. Don't let them do anything. But we're not allowing them to do this and get away. On that note, I'm going to bring in my first guest, the one and only Dr. Donald Times. What can I say about him? You know, he's one of the guys I tell you I got a lot of love and respect for. His wisdom, his knowledge is huge. You know, when I speak of him, you know, we're speaking of someone with the knowledge and also have the heart to go out here and deal and help our people. We don't have that many people with his to go out and risk his business. Black people, but white people believe in getting even with you. They are not going to let you get away blowing a whistle on them. They're coming after you any way they can. Because that's their history. Just like when on Thanksgiving Day, the day they call Thanksgiving, how they slaughtered the Indians at the nerve, and we're celebrating it over 400 years later. That doesn't make any sense. That's the thing. Dr. Tan, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, can you hear me? Because I'm a driver.
I can hear you well.
You can hear me clearly?
You sound pretty good.
Let me know if I need to hold the phone closer.
Okay. Right now, you're good to go.
All right, thank you. Yeah, you're very important. So 463 years of being here. But we have to understand 463 years of conditioning, 463 years of mental brainwashing, 463 years of destroying the image of the black man, 463 years of destroying the image of the black family by trying to separate the black woman from the black man. And also what's so important, what you said is about the butt breaking, that's B-U-C-K, butt breaking, which actually involves the butt, the B-U-T-T, that raping of the black male is why you have your rappers wearing dresses now, because they've experienced butt breaking in the musical industry. So these things are continually going on, and what you've already pointed out is that they attack us by using things that were set up in 1710, Maturus Manumission, which is the making of the snowball or the making of the Stephen in Django. So everyone needs to watch Django because you need to learn who your Sambo is. And for those who are not familiar with Sambo, Sambo is who we call that house nigger. And that was the one who's always been anti-black, anti-himself, always loving white people more than he loved himself. And those are the people who in the city of Benton Harbor are running the city when myself, Anthony Connolly, Sam Hudson, and a few others, Reverend Emery Vary, that we were in the process to bring a supermarket to the city of Benton Harbor, but we were blocked by the city. So they, and you're absolutely correct, because of the mental injury and low self-esteem, white is right. White people ice are colder. White people water is wetter. So we have to understand that these people who are in political office have been conditioned that way, and that's the reason why the situation is what it is. The thing that we have to look at is that the 1705 slave codes were never removed. And so it's a good thing that you're going into the prisons and getting these people out, because the Constitution never ended slavery. It just said that those who were free by the Emancipation Proclamation could be called slaves or enslaved. They break the law. And what they did, the slave code said that if you're unemployed, therefore you're breaking the law, so you could be enslaved. You can be put in jail, put in prison. It says if you don't have a place to stay, you can be put in jail and put in prison, so you can be returned back to slavery, being enslaved again. So those rules were enforced to produce a group that was needed for a new business that just started. What you're going to be surprised to find out is that you never had a prison until after 1865, until after the Emancipation Proclamation. So once you get the Emancipation Proclamation, they created prisons to lock up the Africans, to lock up the blacks. So that's a direct correlation between blacks and prisons, and that the American government established prisons in 1865. There were no prisons before that. So there was very little emphasis or information on jails, but the prison complex was started. We already had we didn't have police called the slave patrol, and the slave patrol became the police, and the slave patrol not only had whites, but it also had American Indians of the five tribes who were trying to buddy up and be friends with the whites. And, you know, they are guilty of having slaves. I'm talking about the Indians, what we call indigenous people. They are guilty of abusing and misusing and enslaving black people. And the government said that they owe black people reparations because of the 1963 Indian Treaty. So the 1963 Indian Treaty said that they owe reparations. Lincoln gave us 20 acres and a mule, but that was rescinded. They took that back after they assassinated President Lincoln. So we're still owed that. We also have what's called the Freedmen's Bank, which was just for the freedmen, which was for the blacks. That was FDIC insured. And so the descendants of those are entitled to that 300 years of interest on the money that was in that bank. So we have to look at that. The Japanese received reparations. Chinese received reparations. Germans received reparations. The European American Jew received reparations. No one ever thought of reparations for blacks. And now we can't call ourselves really black. When it comes to reparations, we got to be more precise, more specific. And the reason we have to do that is that African American was good. The first person to say African American was in 1962 was Malcolm X in the United Nations when he was speaking in his court case against the United States, charging the United States with genocide against the Negro or the Afro-American. And that was a term at the time. He happened to say African-American, so that's on the transcript when he was speaking at the United Nations. That term was fine, except now a European who went and was born in South Africa, went to Canada and down in the United States as a citizen, he's an African-American. So we have a white man named Elon Musk who is classified or can be if he chooses to be African-American. So reparations have to be for those who are called descendants of enslaved Africans in America. Descendants of enslaved Africans in America, well, we can use the acronym D-O-E-S-A-A, 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 descendants of enslaved Africans in America. That's who we are. No one can claim that. The Mexicans misuse us and abuse us, and you have two types of Mexican. You got the Castilian Mexican, who is the white Mexican, who was born here, born in the country of Mexico. Mestizo means mixed. It means mix of African and Indian. Then you have the Arab who's here, or they call themselves the Arab Asian or the Asian, who actually in 2022 of December is still practicing slavery in the in their country, in the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, Kuwait. Kuwait is a slave port. So we have to understand that those people that we're seeing in our stores are still enslaving our people and never stopped their slave trade. Once they learned about Mansa Musa, they wanted to take over Africa for all of its gold. And what they did was that they could not win man to man, so they went from man to woman. They went and kidnapped the African woman and had babies by them. They married the African women who had babies by them. And then their children, who were mixed of African Arab, went ahead and enslaved other Africans. So when you look for the enslavement of Africans, you're going to see it was those groups that were mixed. And that's also where you get your key Swahili from, of the Arab slave traders, of the Arab-African slave traders, putting the African words with Arab words to create the key Swahili as a language of business. Then we, so we have it, and then we have the Chinese who came here, and the Chinese even went to the Supreme Court and made sure that they would never be identified with the Negro, the Black, or the African, or the African-American, and they came here not enslaved. They came here to make money, to get free land, to also to go gold searching and gold digging, and they also try to make a little bit of money off of the slave trade as well. So we've got the Arabs, we've got the Chinese, we've got the Hispanics, and then we also have the people who owned all the boats and the ships. And they were back then called the European Jew. And the European Jewish owners were involved with working with the Arabs and establishing the slave trade. And what we have to be clear is that there were three slave trades. But the Arab slave trade was 500 years old before the Europeans got involved. So we got to kind of keep those separate. And the European slave trade stopped where the Arab slave trade continues to this day. So the Europe, and we need to call it the European-American slave trade, not the transatlantic. The Atlantic Ocean had nothing to do with it, because when you had to cross the Lake Michigan to go from Canada to New York or Detroit, you don't call that the Michigan Lake slave trade. So we have to be sure that it's the European and European-American slave trade, so we identify who the perpetrators are. And that's where we have to keep our language straight. So all of these things led up to what you were speaking about today, and that they made sure that in the teaching that no other immigrant group, no immigrant group in the United States had a law saying it was a capital offense for them to read or write or to be educated. They didn't have to go there. They didn't have to earn that. We died so that they can go to our schools, our public and private schools. All the Arabs, all the Asians, all the Hispanics, all the Chinese, all the Japanese, all of them have opportunities because we died to provide them for opportunities, but yet they are not speaking up in our behalf. And what they've done is they sided with the European and the European Americans against us and show their hate to us. And as a result of us being here 463 years, we don't even have a hate bill that the Chinese, Japanese have. We don't have a hate bill to protect us because the people who are hating on us are the people who have founded America and still denying us. They hate us so much that their own scholars have become so fed up in saying it's time to tell the truth because they see that the signs of the time that if God is coming close, they don't want that blood on their hands and they don't want to go to hell. But 99% of all your European scholars are the ones who tell you that the black man and the black woman were the first, that 85% of everything invented in the United States came to a black man or a black woman, that all the ethnic groups here prospering off the work and labor of black men and black women who never received a dime for their slave labor. They're coming here with grants, coming in here from Afghanistan, getting hundreds of thousands of dollars, coming here from Asia, getting hundreds of thousands of dollars, coming here from Arab countries, getting hundreds of thousands of dollars. But yet they don't want to give $1 to a black private school. They don't want to give $1 to help you have a decent house instead of making you a renter. They don't want to give $1 in a business loan to a black man. They'll give you a loan to make you in debt to go into school. They'll give you a loan to make you in debt to buy a car. They'll give you a loan to make you in debt to buy a house. But they're not going to give you a loan for a business to make you independent. And that's the point that Michael Jackson was making when he was assassinated, when he became 51% owner of Sony. That's the same point that was being made by Prince when he was assassinated, when he also became 51% owner of Sony. It's also the point now that Martin Luther King was making when his last 2 years when all the black church turned against him except the Shrine of the Black Madonna, the Black Six, NAACP, CORE, Urban League, all of them were against King. They told King that he was Martin, not Malcolm, because King was talking about human rights. Roy Wilkins tricked them into that whole integration. The whole movement and the whole reason they were willing to give their lives a vote was not the vote, was to get something for their vote. And the Negroes today don't even ask for nothing for their vote. They just tell you to vote. Your vote is supposed to come with demands and strings attached, just like every other ethnic group has strings attached to their vote. But we have been taught to be silly people, ignorant people, so we give up our vote for nothing. We act like a $2 prostitute, and we need to learn to be a $1,000 call girl that you got to pay me for my services and my time. So we got to change the mindset of our people.
Doc, what they say, you said a $2 prostitute?
Yes, sir. And if you're a politician, you got to give them the discount of 50% off.
Yeah. Hey, listen to this, Doc. You know, one of the reasons why they don't come into our community to educate people to vote, because they expect black people to vote straight Democrat anyway. They don't expect black people, because a lot of times black people is not going to read too much. They, you know, that's too much like work. They're going to try to sidestep. But what I try to do now, I try to tell everybody, try to educate them on what absentee ballot, military ballot. I tell them all about these things.
And I tell them that, you know, what's important. They may not remember, but if I keep telling them over and over again, they'll remember probably when they get to the poll. Yeah, I like that, though. You said they are $2 hole, huh? And I don't mean to be nasty, women. I'm please forgive me. I don't mean to be calling, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, $2 holes are male and female.
Yeah.
That's the other part of the male and to the female. Now, mm-hmm. The other thing that we have to understand is that the whole civil rights, human rights movement was pushed forward by people like you, the grassroots. And then once we got to the door of the civil rights bill, then we turned it over to the black middle class, who were the $2 holes that sold us out. And they're still selling us today. So that's why you can have an FBI informant who professed, as Al Sharpton, who took down the partner of Johnny Cochran, while you can have Jesse Jackson, as stated by Dick Gregory, as changing the room from the basement at the Lorraine Hotel to the balcony of Dr. King to set him up so he could be shot. That's why you have Gene Roberts setting up Malcolm X to be assassinated, while you have William O'Neill setting up Fred Hampton to be assassinated. All of those individuals are FBI informants, all professed and confessed FBI informants. And so this is who they're telling us to follow. So the enemy is the one who gives you your heroes. And you mentioned something earlier. You mentioned that the people who raped you, you've mentioned that the people who sodomize you or butt break you or, you know, rape you from your behind, the people who actually hand you, also called lynch you, the people who actually cut off your hands or body parts, the people who burnt you alive, the people who allowed you to be chewed up or eaten by dirt, the people who made you bump heads and called head butting, the people who said that you were 3/5 of a human, that you were on the level of an animal, that you were slow, lazy, and that you were cursed, that same person is the same person that gave you your Jesus. The person who hated you so much, mistreated you, and enslaved you is the same person who gave you their religion. And you don't know that religion was actually your religion, that they copied it, that they became converts and used it to convert you into mental slaves. And that's why 99% of America today who are black-skinned are mental slaves, and only 1% has kind of woken up. And if you woke up, then that means your Jesus and your God looks like you. And if it does not, then that means that you're part of the 99. And Jesus is trying to, right now, work on that 1%. That's what we're speaking to. Now, that relates to the 1960s. We forget the 1920s, we had the Marcus Garvey movement based on black history. Then that was followed from the 1950s to 60s movement, that we had the human rights, civil rights movement, followed with the Nation of Islam, because the Christian church has already been there. The Christian church was only radical during the time of Nat Turner. So Nat Turner started off first, and then we went to the Nation of Islam, and now God's repeat itself, and now you have those who are the Hebrew Israelites are telling you that you are in the Bible. And if your pastor doesn't tell you that you are in the Bible, then he's not a pastor of God, he's a pastor of Satan. Because that means that the European follows the satanic faith, and that's the faith that he belongs. So he is an antichrist in the black church if he doesn't tell you that your God looked like you. Because that's what the Torah is being said, and that's what European Jews who are interacting and debating and meeting with the Hebrew Israelites are confessing, that the early Hebrews were Cushite or Cushi. Cushite, and the Greek for that is Ethiopian or Ethiop. So here you have Israel saying, yes, the early Hebrews are black, and black pastors are saying nothing.
And you know what? You absolutely right too. You know, the black pastor, and how can they teach that you're going to heaven and they're not out here doing the work? You can have all the faith in the world, if you ain't doing no work, you're going to hell. They don't know that though. I mean, but you by being the head, if you've been called by God, God give you a direction to go. That's why some of these people just done jumped up and decided that they're going to be ministers and all this kind of stuff. Especially most of them doing it for the money. Anytime you motivated by money, you can end up in trouble. We got five minutes.
How could devilish people help you get in heaven? How could devilish people show you how to get to heaven? So if you're raping people, if you're beating people, if you're mistreating people, tricking people, deceiving people, how are you going to be able to tell somebody how to go to heaven when you already have a reservation in hell? And that's all the pastors. All the pastors that fornicated, adulterated, and mistreated, lied, backstabbed, and backbite, all of them have front row seats with reservations in hell. So how are they going to really teach you to go to heaven? Well, you got to look at them and judge them according to the Bible. Use that measure. And if they're not living right, acting right, then you got to shed the light on them like you shed the light on others who have done wrong.
Absolutely. You know what? I agree with you 100%. A lot of times they want to give the pastor the free, don't touch my anointed one. That man ain't anointed. If he out here doing all these things, ain't nothing anointed about him. But they don't see. We don't do. Black people looking for somebody that they could follow. You know, even if it's a white man or someone in the church, someone who ain't doing nothing, have no history of doing nothing. It's the same old thing. They don't have no history of doing nothing. But yet, black people try to propel people who not really doing nothing, trying to propel them upward. And what they're doing is lying to themselves. Because what we have here is that people just don't get out and do it. Look, I remember back in 2003 when it started. But we walked them streets. When they had the army out here. You and I was walking the streets back to back. You know, I remember they had surrounded us. They had surrounded me and you, with their guns and everything, but the point was, hey, put them guns down, brother, we ain't the one, but they had us, I think they pulled up on us, jumped out. I don't remember the whole story because it's been over 20 years, but it's but then the most important thing, Doc, we didn't show no fear. And I think that's what rocked their world more than anything else. We didn't show no fear at all. And I know
you
white people like
very,
to,
very
like
powerful. That is too powerful, because if black people are not fighting injustice, if black people are not fighting race and discrimination, they cannot call that they're Christian, because God is not giving them a spirit of fear. So if you have a fear of the white man, then you're not a Christian. If you have a fear of the white man, then you don't love Jesus. If you have a fear of the white man, then you can't say you're following the Most High. So a Christian, a follower of God, a follower of Yeshua or Jesus or Yah or Yahweh, that person has no fear because they have God with them. So when you fear the white man, you're fearing Satan. And the thing that has to also be said is that you said, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. But remember, Satan has the anointed. And so the people are supposed to use the Bible, to use the Torah, to use the Quran to judge their religious leaders. And if they do not line up with the Torah, the Quran, or the Bible, then those leaders are from Satan. And those are antichrists that Paul have told you. And if you fear speaking out against racism, then Christ is not in you.
Amen. And, we talk about putting Jesus back in the school, put the Christian back in there. We need to put Jesus in some of these Christians. That's what we should be worried about, because some of these Christians call themselves Christians. I don't know who they are, and I don't know what they are. But look, I gotta go. But hey, let's finish up tomorrow, because I know that we're ready to rock and roll and roll and rock. I gotta bring in my good friend Belinda Parker Brown. I gotta hear what she got to say, because I know that she ain't been on in a little while. I know she got something to say that's important. So let's hear what she got to say. Dr. Tan, thank you so much. You're a hero.
Thank you.
And stay focused. And we just have to keep doing what we do. But I never forget that time when we was out there doing the uprising, walking in the National Guard. I guess they called themselves surrounding us, But they didn't know that we had already had them surrounded. So we had our angels there to protect us. Right on, Doc. Got to go. Talk to you soon. And take care of yourself, Doc. You the man. All right. Let me bring in my good friend, Belinda Parker Brown, the one and only who didn't, she had turkey day at her house, and she didn't even bring turkey or nothing. And I don't even know why I'm talking to Belinda Parker Brown, because she don't care who she is. So, no, I got feelings.
I'm enjoying the show, Pastor Pickney. You having just a dynamic show. I really enjoy the doctor so much because, like you say, he's a wealth of information, and he's dripping with wisdom, and he's speaking the truth. And I'm telling you, it's very powerful to hear it when he put it down. But I'm really enjoying you. I want to say congratulations to all of those sound bowls. Especially the Slick Willie,
yes.
like you said, we don't call him Muhammad anymore, Marcus,
yes.
Slick Willie. So congratulations to all of them. I really appreciate, I was excited to hear that you say you want to take it national. I'm here to support your effort in taking it national because we got a whole list of samples we need to round up down here in the state of Louisiana, that's for sure. We call them Petty Boo YG. We got a whole lot of different names for them. But nevertheless, they selling their own people out. They've been handpicked. They've been paid. They got price tags hanging on them. And they look like us, and they don't even represent us. They say to our face that they for us, but behind my back, they all up and like you say, they got their lips stuck on the white people butt. So that's what's happening, Pastor Pickney.
Wow, that is huge. But I like that part. They got price tags on them right now, And now you can get them at a discount. They just, it's what it is. It's Black Friday. They call them early in the morning and got them ready. They want Black Friday right there. They got them,
I want to get my one free.
Belinda, here's my thing, Belinda. You're doing this to not only you're doing it to my children, but you're doing it to your children. How do you face the world? And like I was telling, we got these people like the Shaws and stuff who be cutting their hair and stuff like that. He come in my sitting in my chair. I tell him that chair is taken. That's what I would tell him. I said, I'm sorry. He go buy some groceries. You want to buy some? I said, nope. Well, we on our machines are down. And if you want to buy some gas, I said, we out of gas. I would let them buy nothing. Them
right, we won't even, right.
But look,
if you cut grass, don't cut grass, don't do nothing. Make them get out
right
there and cut their own grass.
Cut their own grass. Look, either mayor or city, his house look horrible, man. What kind of mess is that? And here's another thing. Hey, we done shut the radio station down. I see, if you get out here and do the work, You can do things. We shut the whole radio station down. Now he'll move it probably to the basement of his house. I want him to start broadcasting from there, and we're gonna pick at his house over there.
Mm-hmm.
So look, we've been putting the work in, young lady. We ain't holding them up. Wow.
Well, I'm excited about that. I heard what Dr. Times was saying that, when it comes to we as black people in America receiving reparation, they done did it for everybody else except for us. The sad thing about that is we sitting back waiting on them to give us something, and they never intended to give us anything in the first place. So what we have to realize, Pastor Pickney, is that we got to unite. I know I remember when, I was soaking you up like a sponge. I learned so much from you. I really appreciate you for inspiring me to do this work. And, but the worst thing is that our people are so naive. They are so naive, and they really think that these white people is helping them. They want to come to me and tell me, well, this is what the judge said, and this is what the police said, and they said this, and they said that, you know. And the truth of the matter is, why is you telling me what these lying people said? I don't want to hear nothing they got to say, because all they got to say is a bunch of lies, and we've been believing it for 463 years. They're lying.
And Belinda, that's how they should open up the statement. They said, "Do you know that lying judge had the nerve to tell me?" That's how they should have opened up the sentence, with that lying judge had the nerve to say this, because they not for you. If you think they for you, you are the sickest they are.
Right. And then I had somebody tell me today. You know, and it's so sad, Pastor Pickney, that we got to fight our own people to help them. You know, and you know what it's like. You know, we got to, they want us to jump in the lake and save them, and they want to drown us right along with them. But I'm telling you, I'm pulling out my hammer every chance I get, and I'm going to knock them out and drag them out, and then why I hit them in the head with the hammer later. But the truth of the matter is that if we don't, it's sad. We got to fight our own people to help them. You remember when we went to this meeting, Pastor Pickney, and we told these pastors, this is how you really find out whether or not somebody is really for the people, okay? You know, what are you doing? You know, okay, your church, you got your church with your name on it, Flake Temple, okay? Your name on it. And you not doing nothing in the community for to help the people? You mean to tell me your church got its grass cut and everything, but you living next door to dilapidated buildings? You know, people living in houses with no running water, but every Sunday morning your church parking lot is full, you know, and your Cadillac is parked right there in front of the church. You know, what kind of sight is that? It's a sad sight, Pastor Pickney, and this is kind of stuff that our people have failed for. But when we say to them, you know, why don't all the churches come together? Why don't all the pastors come together and unite on Sunday, the first thing on Monday morning, take all of their money to the bank and deposit it so that we can go sit down and talk to the bank president and put a community center or put something in the community for the people? You know, but you want to complain about how hard-headed the children and the children acting like this and the children won't do this and they start at home and all this kind of stuff. No, it starts with our leaders. And if the leaders is corrupt, it's trickling down all into the home and everywhere else. It then poisons everybody. And that's the sad thing, because we got leaders that's running these churches, leaders that's sitting on these commission and on the county commission and in the mayor's position that is leading us right down into the hole. And the Bible says if you follow the leader to the ditch, everybody going to do what? Sink right along with them.
There you go.
I'm not quoting the Bible, but you know what I'm saying. You follow the blind, and the blind going to lead you right down into the ditch. And that's what's happening. We got blind, sick leaders. That's what we got, blind, sellout leaders. We got our own leaders.
And Belinda, remember this too. They actually think they're doing something, because the people don't know.
Right.
The people have given their conscience blank because they believe that they're actually doing something. I mean, all these people that walk around here, you know the people here. All these people here, they're not busting a grape. They're so pitiful that it's almost embarrassing, you know. But unfortunately, you know, we have to stay, but we can't worry about what they're doing. We got to worry about what we're doing and protect ourselves, because they hate people that's actually doing something. They hate folks who can stand on their own two feet. They know most black folks can't stand on their own two feet. They get intimidated. That's why they send the police to your house. They send the police to your house because they think that you're going to be scared to move. But unfortunately, they match with me. You know, I ain't going to hold these devils up. And but we have to make
That's
sure we're doing all the things that we need to do, Belinda, and stay focused. And look, we can win this thing. You know, even with the, uh, I, I would say out of all the millions of people, 10% of all the millions of people of black folks that's out here that's fighting, that's a lot of people. I mean, that, you know, I'm going to say 10%. It may not be 10%, but I'm going to say 10% of the people is out here fighting. But most of them don't know how to fight because you got to know how to win. You got to know
how to win, and that's
part of the problem. They don't know how to win. You can't get intimidated by these devils. You can't do
it. Right, that's right. And they need to listen to people that know, get away from the losers and listen to people that know how to win. But like people like me and you, they don't want to listen to us because, oh, I don't like the way you talk. Oh, I don't like him. Yeah. You know, Pastor Pickle, you know about all the problems. They got their feelings all in and getting their feelings hurt. But at the same time, they run to these white people, stick their lips on their butt, and then they want to come back and tell me what the judge said this, what they said this, and they said that. You know, I don't want to hear what them lying people done said because if you're going to believe them, if you gonna believe them, why come you ain't got what they doing to you? Why come you ain't got your money? Why come you ain't got your reparation? Why come you not free? Why come you ain't writing checks? Okay?
There you go.
That's
there
the
you
problem,
go.
But you want to tell me what these lying people done said. And you know good well these people, Pastor Pickney, you taught me that. And I know we out of time, but I want to say this.
Look,
if our people would listen to us, we would win. We fight and we win. You don't keep on fighting and losing.
There you go. And think of black people don't think that they can beat these devils. They don't believe it. These people can be defeated. They can be defeated.
That's right.
You know, they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like I put mine on. Even though some of them may try to put on breast, that's on them. I ain't gonna get into their personal life. But what I will do, hey, I'm fighting for the future of our children. Everything I do is for our children. Everything. You know, so
they run around talking about the blood of Jesus, and they got chicken blood. That's what they happened to them. They got chicken blood. They scared of everything. Somebody drop a dime on the floor, and they passing out. You know, that's the problem. And the police put me out my house, and they took my kids, and they did this, and they did that. And that's, you know, started whining and crying about what these people do. Stop that whining. What you crying
there
for?
There you go. There you go. There you go, Belinda Parker Brown. Listen, we are out of time. God bless you. Hey, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, we're going to have another episode. We're going to keep it moving. Things have been going extremely well. And once again, I want to thank everybody out there. I mean, you guys showed out with the Soundboy of the Year Award. I mean, I was on Dry Bones this morning. And Dry Bones, they enjoying this stuff, man. You know, when you talk about these soundboys, we got to call them out. I'm putting my four soundboys up against anybody. I don't care where you at. My soundboys, I'm putting my soundboys up against anybody. I'll challenge anybody with my soundboys. And I believe my soundboys can beat anybody. And I'm back to my soundboys.
I don't know. We got some high-profile soundboys down here in Louisiana. I'm telling you, they got gold hanging on them down here. They so bad.
You get your soundboys, I'm going to put my soundboys on your soundboys. It's going down. Listen, I got to let you go. Love you, too. And listen, just land your soundboys up and take it all across the country. And like I said, ain't nobody going to beat my soundboys. My samples are real samples. Good night, all.
All right, good night.